This is CliffCentral.com.
Guess who's back, even though it's Monday, and even though it's a public holiday, it is Anthea Gardner.
Oh.
Yeah. You think she was going to be lazy today?
She looks hard for the money.
We have so much to catch up on.
So hard for a honey. She looks hard.
Hello, Anthea.
For the
money. Good morning, Gareth, and welcome back.
Thank you. Whereabouts are you, and what dangerous activities are you up to today?
I am in Vic Bay.
Where is that?
Which is, it's near George.
Oh, sounds nice.
So it's a surfer's paradise.
Are you surfing today?
I'm hoping to, yes. Nice. I surfed on Saturday. It was fabulous. Yesterday was a bit like a washing machine with 8-foot waves, which is a little bit too big for me.
That's scary.
But hopefully today it will be fine.
Anthea, you're so impressive. But, I mean, are you going to suffer any kind of condition like you did with the arc eye situation from all this activity that you're getting up to?
What dangerous physical problems are we going to experience after this latest part of adventuring?
Okay, I can only hope that I won't crash into the rocks in Vic Bay.
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
My big thing. I'm avoiding the rocks.
Please try. Yeah. Sia's nervous for you.
Just casually.
He's shivering, is he?
All right.
I was going to say, by the way, Ben, thanks for giving me the day off, but Michael Flack superseded you.
Yeah, sorry.
I tried, Anthea. I did what I could.
Yeah, it's okay. Flack sent me a message going, are you phoning in or Skyping in? So here I am.
Well, I was partly responsible for that because I wanted to just check in with you. We had a great day on Friday on the JSE.
Oh, we did indeed, yes. So the market was up 1.4% on Friday.
Woo-hoo!
So I thought after Thursday's big day, because you know on Thursday we had a $4 billion day.
Right.
I thought the market would be quiet on Friday, but no. We had another $2.6 billion trade on Friday. So really, there was no real company news. I think things really are slowing down. And even this week, as far as I know, there's not a single company reporting in the 3 days that we are working this week or that the market's open.
Nobody's doing anything. But it is great that we closed on that day because we closed so high on Friday. Because now, you know, you've got this long weekend and hopefully it holds. And tomorrow everybody will be back on the markets. But they probably won't be doing a lot, right?
Exactly. I think there are very few people back. I think a lot of people will be on holiday, actually.
I think so, too. So on a day like this, what do traders do? Do they go surfing?
Late long lunches is generally what we do.
I did my homework that you and Ben have been encouraging me to do for the longest time. I watched The Big Short.
Oh, and what did you think of it?
Wow.
Scary, huh?
Depressing.
It's a bit of a horror in places.
It's depressing.
Yeah, and it's so true. A lot of it is so true. It is quite scary.
They put a human face on the guys who actually profited from the subprime housing collapse of 2008, but I kind of found myself not really sympathizing with them. It's hard to sympathize with someone who scores billions while everybody else loses their houses, as the Brad Pitt character said at one point in the movie.
Sure, but was it not the banks you felt really bad about? I mean, they made the banks look so bad.
The banks deserve to look bad. And so did Standard & Poor's and Moody's and the rest of the rating agencies, which made me think that this whole paranoia we have around junk status at the moment, I wonder how diligent they are about compiling these reports. And they've got people from Moody's who are apparently in South Africa right now. These guys did nothing to check on the banks before the subprime housing crisis. So how do we know that they're even on top of what they're doing now? And why do we take their word for it?
That's right. And you know that S&P had I have to get this number right. I think it was 5 million or 5 billion. I never know my zeros. Dollar. They had a fine, basically. They were being fined because they hadn't done their homework properly and they hadn't let the market know ahead of time that things weren't looking great. So I think what they're trying to do now is they're trying to win back some confidence by downgrading ahead of the time or, you know, being proactive and visiting the country. So it's all just a big game with these ratings agencies, honestly.
That's it. It's a big game, but it affects people. I mean, if Standard & Poor's, for example, say that we are junk status in terms of our ability to be invested in, that affects the whole economy. That affects every single person in South Africa in a very negative way.
That is true. And many countries have been downgraded to junk status. Gareth, I do wonder, are we making a little bit too much of this junk status? So to me, it feels like South Africans suddenly have realized that there is such a thing as ratings and their money will cost something. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, there's this big fear and the newspapers are all throwing it out and call. First of all, the fact that they call it junk status is already something we generally in the market tend to call it sub-investment grade. And granted, amongst ourselves, we do call it junk status because we're cheeky like that. But that's what it really is, right? It's just sub-investment grade. And it's not great for everybody to leave and to not be invested in your country. Surely we do understand we need foreign investment.
Right.
But the fact that it's called junk status.
And it's horrible. And it just seems like, again, you know, we've got this insidious rule by banks and by ratings agencies overseas that we have no control over.
Yes, but we're not the only ones that are vulnerable to it. I mean, everybody is. Like, every single country in the world gets rated. And in 2009, it was a big drama when America got downgraded because they were the only AAA rated country. And then they got downgraded by one of the ratings agencies, and it really was a big deal. But look at them, they're okay. I mean, they didn't go as far as junk status, obviously.
Are there any AAA rated countries now?
That's a good question.
I think let's do a bit of research there. I imagine that a country like Iceland was AAA rated before the banks completely collapsed there as well.
I reckon Iceland's probably still junk status.
Yeah.
But so Germany definitely was AAA rated, and America. And of course, you know, there are three rating agencies. So there's S&P, Fitch, and Moody's. Uh-huh. And they don't all rate the countries or the companies or the SPVs at the same rating. So potentially you could have S&P rating America as AAA and Moody's rating them as AA.
I've got an idea. Let's open up our own ratings agency. You, me, Mabale, Ben, Sia, and Flex, and we'll call it something fancy, and we'll go around and just make up ratings for each country, and then they'll all beg us to give them higher ratings.
I mean, why not?
It's an idea.
Why not? We get one person on our board who's like a doctor of economics. We've got you. So why the hell not?
Because I don't want to do that job. Okay. I'll tell you, why not.
You'll just be their title.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. We'll just get one of the Guptas to make up the numbers.
And somebody has to pay us, of course. You know that, right?
The Guptas will pay us.
Do this work.
Yes, yes.
The Guptas will pay us. Just keep us out of junk status and the president can carry on looting.
Right. Okay.
Anything else we need to know ahead of this week?
This week's going to be quiet. I'll tell you what happened on Friday. A couple of things. So Gold Fields, they did an accelerated book build, which means that they raised capital. And instead of going to the general public, they actually just phoned up and emailed asset managers and institutions directly. They gave us about an hour or 2 hours to decide whether or not we want to partake in the book build. It actually went off very well, was oversubscribed. So they issued new shares at R59.50 a share. They issued 38.8 million new shares, which means they raised 2.3 billion rand.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And all of that in a couple of hours. Mostly it's going to be used to pay down debt, though. And I think what happened with that is that investors have seen what's happened with the share, and they don't mind getting a little bit of exposure to gold at this stage. I think everyone's so surprised by what happened in the last month or two that they kind of see the trend and they think the trend is going to continue up. I'm not convinced.
Is that why they'd be buying gold?
Gold shares, yeah.
Yeah, but effectively that's what they're doing.
That's right, yes, exactly.
Sure.
And these gold, and our gold companies are hugely leveraged to the gold price. So for every, well, it depends on which companies, of course, but for every, say, $1 move in the gold spot price, our companies move quite a bit more, so maybe 1.5 times or 2 times the actual underlying price. Because you can imagine that in the companies, in these gold companies, these mining companies, as in most companies, costs are actually fixed. Most costs are fixed.
Right.
And they've done so well to lower their costs that they're fixed at a lower rate. And anything they make above that is pure profit. Hmm. So if they're able to do that, then it makes sense to own a little bit of gold.
Nothing wrong for them. Nothing wrong with
exactly.
that. Okay.
And then Steinhoff upped its offer for Darty. Darty is the electronics business. So they sell white goods, you know, fridges, washing machines, dishwashers, those kind of things, and coffee machines, vacuum cleaners, that sort of thing. So it looks like Steinhoff, the great South African company, is really looking to become the biggest by far retailer, European retailer, because Darty has, I think, 400 stores or something, a couple in Belgium and Germany as well, mostly French.
Okay.
And they're paying $970 million for this Darty.
Well, good for them, if they're prepared to. Does that mean that if you're a Steinhoff shareholder that you're hoping that this is a good buy, obviously?
Absolutely, yeah. They were in a bidding war with, well, bidding war, I say, but they were bidding against Fnac, which is the music bookstore, French bookstore, music store.
Wow. Would anyone want to buy a music and bookstore?
Well, they also do a bit of electronics. So they do TVs and DVDs and computers and that sort of thing. It is, Fnac is a great store. It's one of those things where they have coffee shops and people go and sit in them and hopefully buy something.
Sure.
And I think that's why Fnac wanted Darty, because they wanted to expand their sales base. Mm-hmm. As it is, Steinhoff already makes more than 2/3 of its revenue from Europe. So it's really not a South African company anymore, is it?
No, it isn't. But really, you'd have to be very brave to be buying into music and books at the moment, surely.
I agree with you, yeah.
It's just
no, you don't want to be buying Fnac.
It's not a secure thing to own anymore.
It really is kind of the old economy, if you like.
Absolutely. And who even owns that stuff anymore? Because you can download so much of it for free.
That's right.
It's not a safe asset to trade with.
Yeah, so Fnac are definitely going to have to do something. I mean, where they go from here is a good... If they're not going to buy Darty, then what are they going to buy? You know, how are they going to stay alive? They really have come under pressure. I know they've closed quite a few stores of late. And they've expanded into organizing concerts and selling concert tickets, which is a very odd thing to do. You go from selling books to selling to event organizing.
Speaking of which, you know South Africa's big concerts was bought by a massive American events company.
Oh, no. Which one? Do you know?
I can't tell you now offhand, but it was a major deal in Atif and Vek. Obviously, it's a privately held company, so it isn't listed. But that was sold a couple of weeks ago. And I think it must have been for a fairly large sum.
I'm definitely going to go and have a look into that. I didn't know about it.
Yeah, find out about that for us. All right, Anthea, very good.
All right, I'm back in Joburg tomorrow, so there won't be much to report. The market's closed today, but I will tell you about foreign markets.
Yeah, and let's find out about these AAAs, whether there is anything left in that category.
Right, will do.
Awesome.
Speak to you tomorrow. Have a good
day. Thanks, Anthea. Cool. Okay, bye. There's Anthea Gardner. A little look at the numbers for this week. I know Ben gave her the day off, but I thought, hell, if we're working, she must work.
Okay.
Isn't that right? She works hard for her money. We work hard for our money. That's how it works.
This is CliffCentral.com.